I am the sound of a grenade exploding in the officer's tent. I am the sound of millions of TVs being turned off at once. I am the sound of millions of people marching the whole world over. I am the sound of 100 shackled hands shaking the chain-link fence at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Shit gets more obvious to everybody every day. The youth will continue to surprise us with their new resistances as the veneer of democracy starts to fade.
On the eve of Human Rights Day, we will speak with Sophie Harquette about her experience since last December 10th, when her husband, Mohamed Harquette, was detained by the Canadian government under the security certificate, which has also been called a secret trial certificate. Today, her husband remains in jail and faces deportation back to Algeria, where he could be killed. Mohamed has been in Canada since 1995. He's been given refugee status in 1997 after making the claim that he would face persecution from the Algerian government if he were to return. On December 10th, 2002, just a year ago, Mohamed was arrested outside of his home in Ottawa by undercover police. Since then, he's been in jail without any charges under the allegation that he is linked to Islamic terrorist groups and activities. His lawyer and Sophie have yet to see any evidence to support the allegations, and the security certificate could allow Mohamed to be deported back to Algeria without them ever seeing any evidence, hence the name Secret Trial Certificate. Sophie Harquette joins us on the line for a look back at this last year since her husband's detention. Welcome to the program, Sophie.
Good morning.
So take us back to a year ago today on the eve of Human Rights Day, back in 2002, December 9th, just a day before your husband was, disappeared off of the streets of Ottawa by the Canadian government.
Well, we were leading a very normal life. My husband was working 15 to 18 hours a day like he always does, and coming home, and we were just spending time together. I mean, we were leading a life like every other Canadian, but now, a couple of weeks later, they blame that he wanted to integrate into society by, you know, having a normal life. But we were having a very, very normal daily life, and, you know, as always, enjoying my husband when he was coming home and spending time with him. He's just a great human being.
And December 10th, 2002?
Well, that's what I call my day from hell, really. It was a horrible day. I got the phone call at my work around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was on the phone, and my lawyer left me a message and said, Sophie, you got to call me now. And my lawyer never calls me at work unless there's something urgent, and my heart just started beating right away because I said, oh, my God, you know, like, what happened? And I called him up, and he said, I hope you're sitting down, Sophie, because I've got some really bad news for you. And he said that Mo was arrested, and I thought, oh, geez, there he go. He went speeding again, or, you know, he forgot to pay a ticket or something. And he said, no, they're detaining him, and we don't know why. It's related to terrorism allegations, and I just dropped the phone. I was sharing an office at that time with four other women. I just screamed at the top of my lungs and dropped the phone, and I can just see the whole thing. I just reacted in slow motion, and, of course, the other ladies in my office saw my reaction, and everybody knew then that this was going to be a very, very serious matter, and then made the call at my mom on her cell phone and let her know. And it's really sad because she wrote in a statement last week that she will always remember my voice that day and the fact that I was so scared, and the tone of voice, she said it will be in her mind forever. And then went over to the lawyer's office, of course, and he had nothing to explain that day. He didn't know what was happening. He told me I might not ever see my husband again. Of course, I flipped out because I said, oh, my God, if I don't ever see my husband again, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we talked over about the procedure, if we wanted to continue legally and what was going to happen. But we didn't have much information that day, so it was a very, very scary day. So I kind of went underground for a couple of days and just to take in the news and spend some time with my family and discuss what was going to go on. until a couple of days later I decided to do a press conference and speak out on behalf of my husband and explain to the Canadian people that I don't agree with the procedure that's being taken against my husband and that I would defend him 100% because I do believe in his innocence.
Now, you've been doing just that since then, and much of the years have been defined by that for you. But maybe you can just tell us a bit about 2003 and bring us up to today. Just recently, we saw last week Rocco Galati step down, declaring that he feared for his safety if he continued to defend people like your husband. That's just been the sort of most recent information impacting his situation.
That was just the icing on the cake, really, because it's been a very, very tough year. It's been a roller coaster of emotions all year, disappointments all year when we went to court. It's a nonstop battle, nonstop stress. My stomach is spinning all the time. I've given Pepto-Bismol a big business this year and thumbs. I mean, it's you live in a stressful time every day. And what has happened during the year is that I've become a zero activist to 100% activist, and I've included myself here in many groups in the Ottawa area and have been giving lectures in the Toronto area, Montreal, Ottawa, and have been organizing many events so that the public knows what's happening and to let them know that, hello, you know, it's been a couple of weeks now and he's still in jail. You know, hello, it's been a couple of months now and he's still in jail. And tomorrow my event is, hello, it's been a year now and he's still in jail. And I want the Canadian people to react. I want everybody to know what's happening in Canada. This is like Guantanamo Bay here in Canada. But, you know, before this all happened, I was just in the dark as everybody else. I didn't know those kind of things were happening. I didn't know Algerians in Montreal non-status were waiting to be deported. I didn't know so many of the things that I see now, and I'm not proud of everything that this country is doing, and it's been a very difficult year. I meet people that are truly amazing to me, and some of them, you know, they're deported, and some of them their future is uncertain, and it's really, really tough. I mean, on top of my husband being detained and we don't know what's going to happen in the future, I meet all the other great people that's future are just as uncertain, and I just get really mad on how this country is treating the refugees and the immigrants here. It's been very frustrating, very, very frustrating, and I'm trying to promote that as much as possible through different actions. And I've been traveling quite a bit, and extensively, I would say. And it's very tiring, and I never knew that one day I'd be my husband's own public relation agent, which happens to be my background. But, you know, it's a very difficult role, but if I would be in the same situation, I would do the whole thing over again, because my husband's my biggest source of inspiration and motivation. I'm his number one fan, and throughout this experience, he has become my hero. And I never knew my husband was so strong, and he impresses me every day with his strength, and he can still have a sense of humor throughout all this, and thank God that I have him, because if I wouldn't have a husband that strong as him, I don't think I'd be motivated to continue, but I'm doing it all for him. Even though it's difficult, I do not regret everything. He's worth every sweat, every tear, every penny I've got, and you know, all the headaches I'm getting and stomach aches are worth it for my husband.
We're speaking with Sophie Harquette, whose husband, Mohamed Harquette, has been detained since last December 10th, which is Human Rights Day around the world. Her husband was, in fact, disappeared off the streets of Ottawa by undercover police, later to turn up in detention and has been there since, but with a security certificate issued on him. Now, you've heard Sophie talk about her work to defend her husband, but Sophie, you've also done much to speak out in terms of the situation for immigrants and refugees across Canada. On any given day, there's nearly 500 people in detention, your husband being one of those detained on a security certificate. Now, the security certificates predate September the 11th, 2001, But we've seen a couple of them issued since they are issued on any sort of immigrant or refugee in Canada can be issued, and thus a secret trial can commence, which is the process that your husband's currently going in. But I just want to shift this discussion to that of the general situation for immigrants and refugees in this country. After September the 11th, you'll recall that Bill C-36 went into effect in Canada, which was supposed to combat terrorism and preserve freedom, according to Minister McLennan. She had suggested that people who live in Canada fear for their personal security and safety, and if people are afraid, she suggested, they cannot live in a free and democratic society. And McLennan said that fear starts to eat away and erode at the very underpinnings of democracy. Sophie Harkett, I wonder if you can just respond to Justice Minister McLennan's defense of Bill C-36 and talk about how this fear of terrorism has somewhat cultivated the situation that your husband's in and that he remains in to this day.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry if I'm insulting some listeners, but, you know, free society, my ass. This is just horrible. I mean, what is really the description of national security? I mean, my husband's a regular worker leading a very normal life. And in May, they unfortunately arrested another gentleman, Mr. Sharkoui, from the Montreal area. He's the father of two kids, one of whom he's never been able to touch or hug. I think since September 11th, our Canadian government has been fearing the Americans, and we're arresting people in Canada and saying, hi, this Canadian government, we do take terrorism seriously, and we do arrest people, and we're doing our job. I mean, it's a fact, when I go to the jail, the immigration officers are there at least every time I'm there, because the jails are full of immigrants and refugees. Half the jails are filled with people that do not belong there. This Canadian government should be ashamed of the way they treat people. Some people are in there because they do not have proper identification. You know, they might be related to someone who might be related to terrorism. Most people in there do not have a charge. And how can you defend someone in jail, someone in court that does not have a charge? How can you give a person a time to spend in jail when that person wasn't even convicted of anything? Gosh, I don't know what to say about that bill. I'm hoping that I will be able to get it abolished by the time the new bill passes and they can allow to give the security certificate to naturalized Canadians. I mean, this is a very scary law, and Canadian needs to wake up and do something about it. They need to call their minister, their deputy, and their ministers. They need to write to the federal government and say, this is just ridiculous. We go against all basic human rights. We go against fair and proper justice. I mean, you would think that in Canada these kind of things do not happen, but they do happen, and it's very shameful. We're one of the countries with the strictest laws, and we don't even respect the Charter of Rights here in our own country. I mean, the basic of this is that, you know, I've been fighting for these five Muslim men for a very long time, and I do not fight the fact if they're guilty or not. I'm fighting the process. Any Canadian who would be in their shoes would be doing the same thing and crying out to the Canadian government saying, this is not fair. The process is not fair. We don't have the right to an open court. We don't have the right to evidence. We do not have the right to know the charges laid against you. No Canadian would accept this. So why should these people accept the process? I mean, the basic of this is that these people, whether they're refugees or immigrants, they are human beings, and the Canadian government should respect that, and they're not respecting it. And it's shame on Canada, shame on the Canadian government for voting for these bills, and just shame on everybody that's written those bills and, you know, thinking that in Canada we have freedom and the rights. But obviously, in regards to security certificate, all of these laws have been broken, and I keep saying it, shame on the Canadian government, really shame. And I've mentioned it in my press conference. I'm ashamed of the way that the Canadian government is treating the refugees and immigrants. I even said I was ashamed to be a Canadian at one point, because these people come in Canada to have a better life, and they're fighting 5, 10, 15, 20 times more than they were in their own country. I mean, people come here and they're waiting for a deportation. They fear for their lives. And you're supposed to come to Canada to get a better life and to have a chance at freedom. But obviously, a lot of people are going through things like that. And shameful. It's just shameful.
Sophie, have you gotten any response from the Canadian government?
I haven't gotten any response from the Canadian government. It's my next mission is to go directly to the politicians. And if I need to present myself at the Senate for the new bill, I will. I mean, my next step is to do whatever needs to be done. I've spoken out to the Canadian public for over a year now, but my next step is to go to the politicians and tell them, wake up, would you be doing the same thing if you were in my shoes? And, you know, how can you treat these people the way that you're treating them? These are human beings. These are human lives. And there is no cost to a human life. And, I mean, they don't seem to care at all that they're just returning people just every day without good excuses, without any thought behind it. And, these people need to wake up. And that's my next mission is to go and, you know, slap at the back of the heads of these governmental people and tell them that, you know, wake up. This cannot happen in this country.
Is part of that waking up process and an acknowledgement by the Canadian government that there are ways in which they are actively working now against human rights in this country?
Absolutely, and it keeps getting worse and worse. I just saw in a newspaper this week that they want to create a new law that would allow to return people who are being associated with terrorism, people who have committed crimes, and people that have had a charge, and make it a law to make it easier to return them, to deport them, actually. And they just want to wash their hands off of everything now. They don't want to be responsible for anything. And they just will create these new laws, and that's it. And we follow that law, and these people go back, you know. It's like people don't have any chances.
Now, Sophie, tomorrow there will be a demonstration on Human Rights Day. As we stated before, that is the day that your husband, Mohamed Harkat, was disappeared from the Canadian public and has since been placed in detention on a security, on a secret trial certificate or a security certificate. Can you talk about tomorrow's demonstration?
Yes, and before I talk about the demonstration, I'd like to tell the listeners that, you know, our husbands, our brothers, our fathers are in jail. And when you go to visit someone in jail, you don't have any human contact. And I just want to explain that to the listeners because I want them to feel the way we feel when we go to jail. I mean, I think of Mr. Sharkui, whose wife gave birth this summer and was never able to hug his baby or his other kid. And in the case of Majub and Jabala, they have tons of kids. We go to those Canadian jails. People think it's like in the American movies. People are smoking and working out. But that's not the way it's working. Most of these men have spent all of their time in solitary confinement. My husband was in solitary confinement for 53 weeks. Now he's fortunate. He's sharing a space with someone else. But people have to realize that this is not funny. We should not have to be going to jail to see her, our husband, our brothers, our fathers. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I hope Canadians are going to do something about it because I don't wish this on any other families. And I feel for the kids, and I want those kids to be reunited with their dads. And for that to happen, we need your help. And we need your help, and we need you to come to events like the one that's happening tomorrow. It's on December 10th, and it's in Ottawa at 7 p.m. at St. Paul's University. Whoever's in town, please come. We have a great bunch of speakers, and it's to basically, tell the Canadian government that we are following the cases. We will not stop. We do not accept the process, and we're watching them, and we're just going to continue our fight until they listen, until every single man who's being detained under the security certificate is being released, and also to continue this until we are able to abolish these laws. That is really my mission. And unfortunately, we have to do events like that to wake up Canadians and to, I'm I will be celebrating an event that I shouldn't be celebrating. That's a fact. It's a one-year anniversary, but basically it's the one-year anniversary of the day from hell. That's how I describe it. It's not going to be an easy day tomorrow for my family and I to think of the things we went through this year. We've gone through so many different things, including the courts, including our witnesses dropping out, including losing a lawyer, including all the trash that comes out in the newspaper, and the fact that we also not live our lives in fear of ceases, but also who's going to be next, who will they threaten next, who will they want to eliminate next, who will they want to shut up, because they obviously they don't like us to speak out against ceases and against the government. And when you do that, you also take a big chance. And I just want to say I'm very thankful that there's so many support in many cities across Canada, because without them, this would be impossible. So please, if there are events in regards to Sharkui case in the Montreal area, please participate. That's the only way the Canadian government sees this and says, well, there are people watching this issue, and we have to take this seriously. And so I hope whoever's in town in Ottawa will come at the event. If not, please just take the time to write, to fax, to phone your governmental an intersection, and please just put pressure and ask that these people be released immediately.
Sophie, it sounds that community support has been extremely critical for you over the last year. You've also indicated that now you're participating in a movement. You didn't really see yourself as an activist before your husband's detention, but you're definitely part of a movement today, a movement that's building for human rights in Canada. Maybe you can talk about the situation for immigrants and refugees at the forefront of a human rights movement today. Are they at the forefront of a human rights movement? And if so, what is that movement advocating for?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that activism has become the biggest part of my life now, and that my supporters are my lifeline. I've been describing it as having a big cancer, and my chemotherapy is being spending time with my supporters, because that's the only way you feel like you're 100% yourself. They're not there to judge you, and that's where I get my positive energy from. So it's really important that people hang around with supporters and please, you know, help out these families, because that's the only way we know that we are not alone. As for the immigrants and refugees being at the forefront, in my case here in Ottawa, I don't know. I'm not sure if they're at the forefront. For example, at my rallies, I do not get any support from the Muslim community in Ottawa. Why? Because they're so afraid of being associated with these kind of causes. And they fear for their lives, and I understand them. But in another way, they need to fight, because if they don't associate themselves with groups fighting for refugees and immigrants, then this would just continue to happen. And there are some groups in Montreal, like, for example, the non-status Algerian, who've been fighting a constant battle. And I've been really impressed with the way that they've been dealing through all this, and they've become a very source of motivation for me, also an inspiration. These people are very inspirational to me. And there are a lot of people fighting out there, but we do need the help of Canadian people. Those are the people that can make a difference and tell the Canadian government, hey, I live in this country and I do not accept that. And we have to do it for the future. And it's really, really important to fight for these people. These people have the right to freedom and the right to fight. And they need all the support they can get. Like, I can't speak from other areas in Canada if they're at the forefront, but in my case here in Ottawa, I think just regular Canadians who are fighting for these people making a big, big difference. And I'm just thankful I'm not alone. And I really enjoy what I'm doing, and I'm hopefully afterwards, when this is all over with, I can switch my job and just continue to work in that field and really, really make a difference. I'm hoping to eventually be able to make a really big difference in what I'm doing. It's very, what I'm doing is the best type of work that can be done. I'm looking for the word. I'm looking for a word that's very fulfilling what I'm doing. And whoever is working with refugees and immigrants, a big thank you to all of you, because makes a big difference in our lives. And I realize that I'm a regular Canadian, and I don't have any more rights than my husband does right now. And, you know, it's with regular folks like you that this cause is able to go forward. And please, whoever's listening, please associate to any of these causes and just help these people out. We can't describe what these people are going through. I'm trying to think every day on how my husband is feeling. I'll never be in his shoes now. I'll never know. But the only way I can help out is by fighting this battle for him.
We've been joined by Sophie Harquette, wife of Mohammed Harquette, who's been detained on a security certificate since last December 10th. That is Human Rights Day, and here in 2003, on the eve of Human Rights Day, we've had this opportunity to reflect with her. And Sophie, thank you very much for taking the opportunity to speak with us on the eve of not only the anniversary of your husband's detention, the anniversary of the Day of Hell, as you call it, but also on the eve of the mobilization tomorrow.
Yes, thank you very much for having me, and I'm asking the people from Montreal to please support the Sharkoy family, and please participate to the events, and please make sure to follow all the cases and do the appropriate pressures that needs to be done. So thank you all for listening, and I hope that you guys can really make a difference.
And if anyone types in Mohammed Harquette on any search engine, Harquette being spelled H-A-R-K-A-T, you'll pull up the fabulous website that's been pulled together in support of Mohammed Harquette. You're listening to the Tuesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM. We'll be back in a moment.
Yo, check this out, this is Flavor Flav, and you listening to C. Yo, check 1-2, this is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy, and you listening to K. Yo, check 1-2, this is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy, and you listening to CKUT, and the place to be, and the bottom of the T.O.P.